I want to have a resurgence? That fucking aliens show from the 90s. I think it was the 90s. Could have been the 80s. Pretty sure it was the 90s.
Got a wide
they all
net.
Had heads with spots on them.
Oh, you mean Alienation. I was just talking about that.
Aliens and humans live together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
It was District 9 before District 9. It was great.
I don't even understand. Welcome to AE Double Back for October 27th, 2021.
Well,
this pre-show conversation just got out of hand. I don't even know how we ended up where we did, so I'm just going to start the show.
I want to
This is me hitting the bail button on this whole thing.
Like, oh, I'm glad that you say it, because I was going to say that you didn't understand anymore and you tapped out like a coward.
Yes, I did. I'm the Brandon Cutler of the show.
Wow. Brandon Cutler would know exactly what we're talking about.
All right.
Would he, or would he be too occupied with his cold spray?
I know for a fact that the guy whose gimmick used to be rolling a giant inflatable 20-sided die would know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'd be on the side of Alien Nation. Thank you very much.
No, I know what Alien Nation is. I don't know how we got there.
I'm not saying you don't know. I'm saying he would be on the side of Alien Nation, meaning Team Alien Nation, meaning me and Calder wanting to see it back on TV, updated.
AEW.
Okay.
AEW.
All right.
I bet you appreciate how Shop at AEW starts with a shuh.
Yes. Anyway, we got some new Street Fighter collab shirts that are rig goddamn ridiculous.
The limited edition. I did not need to come back.
So
in a good way. I like these shirts.
Well, okay. As long as you're me.
Yes, what we do, if you're not familiar, we go to Shop AEW to see the new t-shirts that they have every week. And you wouldn't think, since we just recorded, there would be new stuff, but oh man, really cool new stuff.
There's a lot of new stuff, actually. I mean, a lot for the time period, certainly.
I agree. The Street Fighter collab is kind of the greatest thing ever. There's one with Ryu and Adam Cole, which looks, this is exactly what I think of when I think of Street Fighter. So this is perfect. The next is CM Punk versus Vega and Balrog.
Vega is my forever Street Fighter character.
Well, because he was essentially a cheat code, and a coward like you would pick no other.
100%.
It's fucking cool.
He was a great character. I like this second one better than I like the first, or better than I like the previous run, I think.
Interesting. Then we have a really amazing Hangman Adam Page.
You're telling
shirt.
Me.
It looks like an old movie poster. It says "Keep on Riding." It's like Adam Page. It's like a cartoony kind of look, I guess, a silhouette of him against the sunset.
Yeah,
riding a horse.
It's super cool. Or it could be like a restaurant ad graphic also.
And it has a tagline at the bottom that says "A tale of failure, rediscovery, redemption, and plenty of cold, cold beer." All too real and in living color. How cool is that?
Delightful.
And there's a subsequent tagline beneath that that says "All rights reserved, AEW 2021 trademark," which is wordy, but you know, funny.
Oh God. Okay. The best friends, they make the best shirts always.
They do.
They really always do. And they have one called Best Skeletons, and it's double-sided. So we've got the best friends. We've got Orange.
Oh my God! I didn't even see the back. Yeah, I didn't see the back. Oh my God! I was looking at the front of this and like, this is a fantastic shirt, and the back just is the Oh my God!
I mean,
that might be the best wrestling shirt I've ever seen.
I think they're all putting their arms around each other, and Orange is in the middle with his hands in his pocket, but they're all skeletons.
I think that an investigation needs to be mounted about why the back isn't the front.
Because the front is so cute. The front is their little heads, and it's so cute because you know exactly who the fuck they are. They're little skeletons, but they've got their little things. You know, you've got Yuta, Statlander, Trent, and... What's his
Chucky
face?
And Orange and oh my Christ, this is so good. I can't.
It's like it makes me angry. It's so good. There goes my money. You know.
Oh man.
If this were a if we rated this, it would be 100% must buy.
Yes.
Like no question.
Should we thumb the shirts?
No.
I don't.
Do you feel that like a leprechaun, you would be like duty bound to count all thumbs that were presented before you, the way he has to like count, if you throw money, he has to count all the money?
Is that a thing?
I think so. I think he has to count something. I forget what the object is, but the deal is if you chuck a bunch of it at him, he has to stop what he's doing to count it up. I think it might have been money.
All right.
Which probably was some kind of a bigoted thing that got thrown in there.
It feels kind of racist.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't know of any specific anti-Irish sentiment that involves counting money, but it definitely feels
wrong
there.
I feel like money grubbing
like
was
there.
More of a Scottish slur.
Jeez. Yeah. How do we get here? All right, so
hit the bail button. Just hit it.
Yeah. I think we should all bail on that one.
So
great shirt,
right,
though.
Yeah. So they great new shirts. There's also a new like unmatched figurines if you're into that. Okay. So moving right along, there was a show tonight, and it was live Wednesday, baby.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
No more hockey for us.
AEW came to the same conclusion about being live that it took SNL 35 years to do, or 40 or whatever it was.
I don't know.
Because Chan, you grew up on the West Coast, and I grew up on the West. And Teresa, you were in the same situation, right?
I was on the West Coast.
So we all got tape delayed SNL for most of our lives. And now it's live. AEW did it in like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So we have the first match of the night, which what an opening match. I just fucking love how they book shows, man. It's amazing. Start the show with CM Punk and Bobby Fish. What? So Fish came out second, which I thought was cool because
that was weird.
It was a
lot. I thought it was really cool because it gave the audience time to really soak it in, like get to know this motherfucker. You know, it's not just about Punk, right? And had it been the other way around, you wouldn't have seen him. We wouldn't have looked at him. We wouldn't have paid attention to any of his hot dogging. You know what I mean? But
also
all
too
the focus
because
was on
it
him.
Is the first thing that you see. When you turn on the show CM Punk.
That's
in
true.
The same way that like you have this first match, you know, like, oh my God, I have to see this. Like, oh my God, I have to see CM Punk. And then,
But are you sure the first thing that you want to see isn't one person with a mic becoming two becoming four becoming eight until the ring is packed full of angry wrestlers and finally
No. And I watched Amadeus and I know exactly there are no recitatives like that.
This is something that is really like every week it's the same thing, but it remains refreshing and cool that they pick a very exciting match to open with and they do so immediately. So that like to get a CM Punk match, just be like, oh yeah, that's our opener. you know, come in from the kitchen with the nachos whenever. I mean, it's just CM Punk wrestling now.
Yeah. I loved this. Fish does all this hot dogging with his arm guns. Love it.
He is
really good.
He is very good at all of this. Boy.
Yeah, he's so polished, so ready. Like, literally, this is, in my mind, an example of someone who, like, wasn't waiting for the opportunity to be ready. Like, he was always ready.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the opportunity arrived, and it's like, bam, he's there.
For all the trash that we talk towards WWE and the way they don't utilize this amazing talent they have, like, when something like this happens, you can sort of see how, like, they're people who had what it took.
Oh, yeah.
They've got all the skills, they've got all of the tools, and they're just sort of like languishing there. But some of them are just like wound up like rubber bands and like,
oh, yeah,
kept getting wound for years and years. And now that, you know, they're free, they're just like kapow.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the gate.
Yeah.
And like, and so in some respects, like thank you, WWE, for doing that, because it gave them the time to mm-hmm. get better. It gave them, polish. You know, like they get to, yeah, polish. They have money. They, you know, they feeding their families that entire time. And now they have the drive to like really show what they can do, often because they're kidding up in years and they don't have much time left. So they kind of gotta really
we're all gonna
go
die
all out. But like, yeah.
Well, that's what Murderhawk says.
You know, something I would never say is that WWE fails to either acquire or develop talent. They don't always do it in the way that I might like or the way that makes the most sense to me. But they are chock full of amazing people, some of whom they use extremely well, and some of whom end up more in situations like Bobby Fish. And while I wish he would have gotten hit, like a better shot a lot sooner, there is some truth to the idea that he is, like, you know, like Darby's theme says, like his hair's on fire, he's losing his mind trying to make the remaining time count, and that is cool for us to get to see now.
Fish looks really good here. He's got some really neat moves. He just kept going after CM Punk's legs for a while.
Oh, boy.
Which is always interesting. Yeah,
to shut down that GTS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The legs are the power center.
And Punk was able to get some good moves in, too. So I am seeing some of what people are crazy about, I guess.
I'm not sure his conditioning is there. Did you guys see that?
Well,
in what way? Didn't really notice it, but it would be expected.
Even though
he has been working real hard, you know, before he started to be in ring condition. Like, 7 years off, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Teresa, you were saying something.
Well, I was just saying, like, I haven't seen exactly what the big deal is yet, because I am immediately in Bobby Fish's corner. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like a badass. He's acting like a badass, and he's doing badass stuff. But CM Punk's doing some good shit, too. So it's not that I don't see it. It's just slowly starting to come around for me. But, man, I actually was curious about the ending, because Fish kicked out, but he kicked out too slow. So the three count was called. And then CM Punk kept staring at the ref, and I was like, oh, shit. Was that, like, not right?
I think the general rule is if the ref counts three, if the ref gets a three, it's not on the ref. The ref needs to call it exactly
because
how they do it.
Because the audience is counting with him. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't just suddenly slow down.
No, you're certainly on a timeline that can't be messed with at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am curious if... I saw the same thing, and I'm wondering if something went wrong there. Almost certainly CM Punk was supposed to win, so it's not that big a deal. But like, maybe there was something else, and who knows?
Maybe he might have just been like some other move. Who knows?
Yeah, or it was the idea was that he just kicks out, and now next week he's going to say, like, I kicked out. That was bullshit. I demand a rematch kind of thing. Yeah. All of which is fine.
I hope he says it in a half-hearted, halting fashion.
Even if
yes,
it wasn't,
because of booking.
Even if it was a mistake, like, it's still a great excuse, you know, to use for more matches. Because I think they were very well matched together also.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, fucking loved it. Thumbs up.
Sure.
Oh, big thumbs up.
All right. So then we have a Malakai Black promo. And he's basically, he's got some sharp words for Cody. He's saying it's not about pinfalls. And I was like, huh, what's it about?
Yeah, what's it all about, Alfie?
Made your family doubt you. I divided the Nightmare family. The crowd hates you. it's all, you know, it's all like the house is whatever, something on the house.
I wonder. Whatever.
The house always wins.
The house of black always wins.
No, the house always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is suspiciously close. Because if it were the house of black, then it would sound too close to always bet on black. Mm-hmm. The classic Passenger 57 line from Wesley Snipes. And I know that they someone thought of that and, you know, was like, let's make sure it's not that.
Well, yeah, but, I would suggest that they pivot towards something about how the match is happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And I guess that changes all the rules.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That would be even better.
I honestly don't know how to take this. It's not a bad promo, but... It's definitely just calling out everything that we've witnessed with Cody and what's happened with the crowds. But I still don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
So I'm no wiser from this promo.
Budweiser.
No Budweiser.
Oh. I'm sorry. Did you say did you thumb it?
I middled it.
I upped it largely because I like the aesthetic so well. But I see your thinking.
There's a promo later that I middled because it was good, but it was exactly the same. And if Malakai cuts this same promo again next week, I will middle it. But I'm still enjoying it, and I thumbed it up. I do still like his intensity and. You know, like his sort of logic that he's there to, you know, basically take Cody out of the game, you know, make him retire. And so he's going to keep attacking him, which I'm largely okay with. I still think they put on good matches. Hopefully something gets straightened out here.
Okay. Next we have MJF. Versus Bryce Donovan, who's a local Boston guy. Cool
I'm
to
sorry,
see
did
locals.
Did you mean to say Jason Reynolds?
Yeah, did you? I feel like we should take this moment to acknowledge that Jason
Nobody
Reynolds
knows
is all
that
elite.
Joke except for us. It's been so long since that was a thing.
Go back through the archives and we cannot help you with which episodes.
MJF walked out with Sean and Wardlow, so... You know, you wonder what might happen, maybe. But it was just a crazy squash. MJF wins. It was a funny cover because he just put his finger on the guy. Then he gets on the mic. He talks about banging rats, which I guess means doing ladies.
You know, maybe it means rats.
It might mean rats. It does, in fact, mean ring rats, which is wrestler slang for, groupies.
Okay.
Weird. Now I know.
Well, that's really sexy.
Knowing is half the battle.
It's really attractive to call them that.
Now I know what not to call myself.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. Wait,
just checking just making sure that you didn't actually think that was a good name to call yourself originally.
No.
And
never
it
heard
was
of
only
it.
This information that decided, like, you know what? Maybe I won't call myself a ring rat.
Well,
now that I know what it means.
Never heard of the term.
Well, Teresa, let me ask you this.
That I know the term, I will never accidentally call myself that.
But would it be so crazy of you to say like that I Teresa am a party animal? And
I don't know about that one.
And that perhaps that animal could be a rat, and that maybe that rat would party by a ring. I mean,
Look, Chinese zodiac. You know, some people are born in the year of the rat. This is totally fine.
Yeah,
I'm a party parakeet.
Surely you want to get married at some point, and so you would want a ring. And so, you are. This is something that a normal person would want. They would call themselves a ring rat.
Well, I guess funny? I thought that's like a rat ring that you have to buy.
Hold on. Wouldn't it be funny if there were people that were like obsessed with wedding rings and they would go to places just to look at wedding rings and they would call themselves ring rats?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of those terms.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
And then jewelers would be like, oh, my God, the ring rats are
here. The ring rats are back.
Well, I think
that sounds like. Sounds like, is that ring wraiths? What was that, Harry Potter or Sleepy Hollow?
It was Sleepy Hollow. It was Sleepy Hollow.
Lord of the Rings. No, never mind. No. You don't even get that. You can't even. Wow. No.
I was thinking the Shire, and I said
Ichabod Crane, take the ring to Mordor.
if Frodo could have had a ring rat, imagine how much easier it all could have been.
Yeah, then one would be plagued with the guilt and the heaviness of the ring. Rats don't give a shit.
No, rats are fine. And the rat would do it for nothing more than a cold slice of pizza.
Okay, so let's move on because we're really...
Oh, my God.
I'm losing my mind. I don't know about you guys. But...
we were off the rails before the show even started. So at this point,
true. Very true.
So anyways, he's just like talking shit to the audience and stuff. And then Sting, the music comes on and the video comes on and MJF pretends like he's scared and then... He starts laughing because they did it on purpose. And then the lights go out and Sean's like, I didn't do that. So then there's some weird video with a dude with an MJF mask on and it's a weird MJF music. It's like slowed down. And it looks like Darby kicked an MJF lookalike in the face at a concert or something on stage. I don't know. But,
I'm curious where he shoots those.
You know?
Yeah. Probably in some place like North Carolina to take advantage of the tax incentives.
Ah.
Sure. He's got a bunch of – those are all union background people there, surely.
Probably.
So Sting was then in the ring when the lights came back up. And Darby was in the audience. He was dressed like the 1950s Invisible Man.
He looked like he had a Columbo trench coat on.
His face was covered in gauze, you know. But so once he came out, MJF ran away, and Darby has a new skateboard. Then Darby grabs the mic, and I wrote down in big letters, Darby on mic, and all he said was Max Full Gear, and I laughed because I was like, "Whoa!" I was so excited. That's all we got.
Yeah, no, that is. Absolutely what he should do.
Yeah.
True.
Because I don't know if you realize this, but Darby Allin is a victim of the same condition that afflicted Eddie Murphy in that Thousand Words movie. Like every time he speaks, he hastens the end of his life.
Interesting. I never saw that. And thanks for letting me know.
You're welcome.
I was
synopsis because I won't have to watch it now.
Don't do it.
This did not know that movie existed.
Sure.
But I will say that here was a situation where I was expecting MJF to just cut the same promo. I love MJF, but I would have been like, this is whatever. But then they spun it around on us. They had the music and it turned out to be a joke. And he's on the floor, literally rolling on the floor laughing. And that was just delightful. Then the lights actually did go out when Sting shows up. He clocks Spears in the back because Spears had the chair like all the way back so that Sting could hit the chair with the bat like full on instead of, you know, doing that thing where you kind of got to like hold the end of the bat so you're not actually hitting the person. So it looked really good. And then Darby coming out and whipping ass or, you know, the shot of Darby over MJF's shoulder, like all of that was just masterful. Just loved it.
Yeah, it's just fantastic,
and I really appreciate that. You know, they don't always do it. Sometimes, like you said, it just gets a little retread, but this one, just like, yeah, all of it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think because of this whole, the whole Sting and Darby thing, it made this whole thing an up for me.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah, I mean, I think no question. For me, I think it would have just been that they did one of those stylized video moments, which I think are one of the best things that Darby does that happens as a part of a Darby story.
Yep.
Then the next segment we're backstage with Britt, Rebel, Jamie Hayter, and Shivani, of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He mentioned Jared Cruz, which I'm so sad. I was
Marvez may be dead.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like, honestly, like
pretty okay with it.
They may be Marvez may be as unpopular amongst the rest of the audience as he is with us, and they're just like, all right, well, like,
sorry, dude.
Just put Shivani back there and just do the thing.
I mean, they must have known. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made him get kicked all the time.
Well, maybe they were hoping they could kick him to popularity. That's usually something that works.
But anyways, Shivani mentioned something about how on the Jerry Cruise, Britt had a match with Abaddon, but she walked out on it. And so she's like, I'm sorry. So Shivani was like, so Tony's now declared you have a match on Friday, a trick-or-treat match versus Abaddon with no disqualifications. So, I mean, you know that means Britt and Jamie are going to get involved and some other random stuff. But, man, I can't wait to see that.
That's going
to
be
a big thumbs up.
Very, very exciting. And I sincerely hope that it has a lot to do with them feeling that Abaddon is more ready to show off a wider range of in-ring work.
Me too.
But we shall see. Just the prospect was enough to elevate the whole thing for me.
I liked that Reba in the back. She's Britt says something about I'm going to bring some tricks or whatever, and Reba's back there going like, "What? Excuse me?" Making just fun faces because obviously nobody likes being called a trick. And then they do the DMD thing. Jamie forgets to do it, and Reba elbows her.
Well, you know,
so I just digging the small the stuff that they're doing in the background, just to, I don't know, probably just amuse themselves.
Jamie may have forgotten, but Teresa will confirm that Tony remembered again.
Yeah, well, Jamie actually doesn't like to do it.
Yeah,
you know, not everybody does. It's not everybody's thing.
But whatever. Okay, moving on.
Teresa loves to do it every time Britt comes on. She's like, DMD. Even when she doesn't do it, she's like, DMD.
She does it more like a radio jingle.
All right, so we've got
Britt Baker and Barnes.
We've got the next match, which is Ethan Page versus Sammy Guevara. Is it just me, or has Sammy seriously bulked up? He's way more muscular than he was a year ago.
I didn't notice, but that could be.
Yeah.
I mean, he was off for a bit, and that is a good time to A, heal up, and B, add mass. So,
or get a boob job, perhaps.
Sure.
That too.
Yeah.
I said add mass, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, you did just say that.
Now, what's on the line for this match is not just the TNT belt, but if Sammy loses, then he has to leave the Inner Circle forever. And I was sort of it'd be really cool if Ethan won and Sammy did have to leave the Inner Circle, just because, why not?
I feel like you would just like a stipulation where he had to just leave the Earth.
He doesn't have to do that. But I thought this was a fun match. Really cool moves. These guys work really well together. Ethan does some of the funniest dumb stuff.
Oh my god,
he's just so good.
He's really, his expressions. Chan has some gross way of putting that, giving good faces.
They're called facials.
Giving facials.
Crying out loud.
But
pulling mugs.
He's very good at that.
between them, they did some really neat stuff, not just that kind of stuff, but ultimately it became like a fairly intense exchange of moves by the end.
Yeah, it was really good. And why does everyone do a thumb across the throat? I used to think that it was only reserved for specific wrestlers. But watching Sammy do it, I was like, oh, what? Like, now my mom's going to start doing it? Like, everybody can just do this?
Probably, yeah.
But there was a lot of really cool back and forth. Sammy then won, but they kept fighting. And so Scorpio came out to help, and then the Inner Circle ran out to chase them away. Jericho got on mic and made a masturbation joke, which, whatever. Ethan and Scorpio were hilarious in their response to that, though. They were like, no, that's not true. No, he doesn't do that. No,
I was there with him.
Like, it was so dumb and so over the top. I loved that. So way to save a stupid joke. Yeah. But yeah, so they're going to be 5-on-5 at Full Gear. Ethan, Scorpio, and the top team versus the Inner Circle. So, and it's going to be a street fight.
Minneapolis street fight. Come on now.
Totally different.
What street that is?
Is in Minnesota.
That drives me out of my mind when they have the audacity to get so specific with what a street fight or a strap match is. It's a South Beach strap match. Please elaborate.
Well, if it's a South Beach strap match, that means there's going to be a gym on the beach. There's always a gym. I don't know. There's a brunch place on the corner.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, so we're going to be treated to that. I guess I hope it means they just bring down the temperature of the arena to like 12 degrees and then just be like, go at it.
Yeah, they have like, I don't know. I was going to try to think of something, but it doesn't matter.
It's okay.
Let's just move on. Did you all thumb it? I thumbed it up.
It's an up for me.
Yeah, I thumbed it up. It was hard because I really did not like the Jericho promo, but yeah. The match was real solid. So
yeah, he wasn't as good as he can be. It was disappointing.
I mean, it's weird.
Jericho as a face is half the man that he is as a heel. So
yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Because like his runs against Orange and the better like group work that we saw the Inner Circle do, like just recently the Pinnacle stuff and what there was before that, just a lot stronger. And, like he's not the only one who's weaker. Sammy weaker as a face, and some of the others are like better at making the transition. Like I feel like I could enjoy face Santana and Ortiz, depending.
100%.
Yeah,
they've gotten better, but they've gotten more. They've just been able to do more on their own, and maybe just gotten better in general. The rest of them, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can all agree that Jake Hager is as good a face as he is a heel.
All right. So next we have a Shivani interview with Eddie Kingston.
Oh, my Lord. Good Lord.
This was fucking amazing. Ooh. Eddie says he takes as a loss so he doesn't hurt somebody, and he battles depression and he still does, you know, gets through things, whatever. And he's like, you couldn't imagine what I go through. He's like, I'm done talking and I'm done listening. Excuse my back, and walks away. Fucking perfection.
It was it was a 10.0.
And then Danielson, you know, after Eddie walks away, he's like, look, I've been through it too. You know, he's like, but I don't complain and I work hard. But he's like, but Eddie works his ass off. And then he continues to sell the fuck out of Eddie and John Moxley. It was such a great promo.
Oh, my God.
Even before that, the thing that not only made Eddie's promo here magnified and better, it made Eddie's last promo even better, as he said that's the Eddie I want to fight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Danielson is getting him riled up. That's why he's talking that shit. And it's not like to get into his head so that, you know, it's easier to beat you. He's right. Like, I'm trying to make you the best you can be so that I can beat the best. And that is just fabulous. That is a face.
Yeah.
That is a face that you can get behind.
Yeah.
It's, honestly, being a face is so much harder than being a heel. Because being a heel, you can do whatever you want and just be as ridiculous as you want. But like it's a real narrow band of face work that functions properly. Everything else is just like, oh god, this dude is smiling. Why is he? I don't want to root for this guy, goody two shoes asshole, or you know.
But I think we all get suspicious of someone we see who's smiling and wonder why.
100%. I can't stand smiling. I don't allow it in my house.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
I mean, it was amazing. This is why they brought him over. You know what I mean? Brian is as good at getting people, the other person over. Like, this just reminded me of a Moxley promo. The way he just like sells the shit out of somebody else. And that just props him up further because he's like, and that's what I'm going to fuck. And I'm going to win. You know, like, you're the best thing I've ever fucking seen. And I'm going to beat you. You know what I mean?
There is a common thread to so many of even the big, you know, potentially oxygen sucking names that they've brought in. Those people love putting people over and love cutting promos like the one we saw Bryan Danielson do right here. Like, he's going to leave like behind for the others twice as much as he takes for himself. And that's so cool. Yeah. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, big thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Big thumb up.
Sorry.
If you think I'm not going to burn your ass.
I don't know why, but I got tongue-tied in that exact moment.
If you think I'm not going to burn your ass for a very momentary minor flub.
Over like a word that's so easy and requires like almost no tongue to get tied. I still managed to do it.
You did it, baby. But that was a thumb up, obviously.
All right, then we have Penta, badass, being a badass, talking like a badass. They're pissed at FTR. Penta and Ray are putting their belts on the line. Cannot wait until Full Gear. It is going to be so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up.
Nothing more need be said. Although it was funny that like for a change, Abrahantes was this was the segment, right? He tried to get in there and they were like, no, we have more.
Ray jumps in and then he covers it up just by like the Lucha Brothers say instead of Penta. So
I've
like,
noticed this and Ray is saying Animo more, and I think it's like Penta is so over and so fucking over, and Ray was gone for a while, you know? So now I think they're taking steps and putting effort into making sure that Ray doesn't get lost in the shuffle somehow or forgotten. I mean, how could you forget Ray Phoenix? But I digress. If you're not the biggest Lucha Brothers fans, which how could you not be? I'm ashamed of you. If you're not, then maybe you forget that Ray is as much a badass as Penta. You know, they're just perfect.
I wonder what you guys think about this.
I looked up Animo because he said the thing. I was like, I don't know what that means. But it's a Spanish word that means encouragement, not easily translatable. Implies the act of reassuring, inspiring, or cheering someone to overcome a challenge. Broadly, it means don't give up. You can do it. So maybe kind of like Japanese gambatte. It also denotes courage and persistence, zest, metal, pluck, a spirit of tenacity. Someone who stands strong in the face of adversity. So like covering up his like right eye with his belt at the same time. So my guess is we're going to see a shirt design that is makes that sort of a little more clear as a like a catchphrase soon.
That has been his catchphrase. That's not new.
Ooh, okay, my bad.
You're really falling into her crosshairs here.
Everyone here other than me. I am the best.
Wow, you are.
No, but that's been his catchphrase. So he's been saying it out loud because everybody knows Pence's catchphrase. He like not only reiterates it a million times, but he's got a little hand motion and the audience loves to do that. And he's been doing it for a while and Ray was gone for a while. So there, and Ray doesn't have like a hand motion for animo, whatever.
But Get one, baby.
Yeah. But the two taglines, their two things go very well together. You know, obviously no fear and like be fucking like Lionheart, you know, stick with it, stay strong, is really fucking cool. And, yeah, so he does have like some designs where, and he does do little things like that where he covers his eye. I used to think, I had this thought that it could also have, and this is so not it, but I wondered at one point if it had anything to do with, there's like that psychological thing of anima and animus, you know, which is like the two sides of a mind, basically. I don't know. I just had thought maybe some of his, it doesn't matter. Imagery and stuff like had something to do. It doesn't matter. We'll move on. It's a thumbs up all around, right?
And how does the it relate to enemas?
Not at all.
Well, something I wanted to ask you what you guys thought, if you could think of anything remotely like even equal, but like the Sierra Mieta, like gesture and call has to be like by a wide margin the best like move like that anyone at least in that company does, right?
I mean, I don't know, because we've got the boom and the Adam Cole, right?
Yeah, I mean, like we've that's just gotten that into the company for sure. And there's there, you know, there's the dark order claw, but there's not really a vocalization that works with it,
right? Definitely the Sierra Miedo from AEW that seems to be like, I mean, I know he does that outside of AEW and everything, but
you think he does it at home?
I mean, he does it everywhere he performs.
But that was again to reiterate something we've talked about before. But being at the movie theater for a PPV a while back and experiencing the power of the gesture with a group, like it's a really connecting like thing that they are geniuses for having devised.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just animals trying to identify our tribes. So. So then we've got, look, this whole night, it was like so good. I kept thinking, okay, this is it. This is the thing for the night. But then more things kept happening that were like, well, now that's the thing for the night.
Yeah.
And here's one of those things that I was like, for sure, this is going to be the thing for the night. It's Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida. She's got a way better robe and a really cool outfit. She has way more fire and energy. I fucking love it. She's like attacks like a crazy person now, which I love.
Oh boy. And I wonder if it has to do. We were talking about the more experienced performers that are coming into AEW, like Danielson or Punk or Fish or whoever, that are all bringing in their long acquired like little used expertise or whatever. But to have someone like Deep come in, who is very strong at what Shida is now getting good at, like I wonder if that's not like so much of what this is.
I mean, Deeb is so damn tough, so fucking tough, so amazing. The two work really well together. I was losing my mind. It was so good. At one point, Deeb grabbed the plaque again because she'd have brought it with her. It was a broken plaque, but she brought it with her to be like, yeah, this is going to be my 50th win, bitch. And so Deeb grabbed the plaque again, but she'd have kicked it away. And then Shida almost used it against Deeb. It's very tempting to do a rotten thing. But she gave it to the ref instead. But then Deeb took that opportunity to gouge her eye. Shida was able to kick out, did one of the best counters ever that I've seen. I mean, so great. And she won. And it was fucking awesome. It's her 50th win. Okay. But then Deeb knocks out her legs, and then grabs a chair, and Deeb's going crazy, almost breaking her leg. And then all the refs come out, and then someone with a lanyard. I don't know who that was, but they all had to tear her off of Sheeta and throw Deeb out of the building. And her reaction was so fucking cool. I mean, just so good. She's just so good.
Yeah,
she's
really
so good.
Really, really is. Like I was saying in our chat, like that Deeb feels to me at least like an awful lot like another Cody in terms of like being out in the ring and being able to deliver an energetic, bruising match, and also being so strong at raising the energy level.
Absolutely. You know, like raising the level of performance from whoever she's against also, you know, like she's.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely.
But Sheeta was really great. I mean, this is what I had hoped to see back when she had the belt, you know, but she just needed time, I guess. I mean, she's great. So I gave it thumbs up. Big thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big thumbs. I don't understand because I feel like in Japan, she had the reputation of being this kind of wrestler. And then, you know, the first year, however much we saw of Sheeta in AEW was that exact kind of face that I said is just terrible that I can't, you know, be bothered with. Just like, hey, I'm smiling and I'm happy and I'm wrestling. And well, there we go. Mm-hmm. But now she is still a face, but like there's the intensity there, and wow. I'm looking forward to these matches. And boy, it's I'm bigger fan than I was before.
It's really very exciting, and full for so many reasons. Full Gear is going to be an outstanding show, I'm certain.
Oh yeah. Then we have an interview with Shivani. It's another Dance of a Thousand Shivanis, but he's with Dante.
Man,
look, no, I'm not gonna talk trash about that because if he's not there, then Marvez is. So
yeah, and the Dance of a thousand Shivanis is my favorite part of the 1001 Arabian Nights.
We've got Dante Martin and Leo Rush. Dante looks so sad. He's just sad. He doesn't like any of what's going on. Now the match is not going to be a tag match. It's going to be just Matt Sydal versus Dante. And this was actually a better promo from Leo Rush. There's no business bullshit, which I'm so glad because I don't like any of that stuff.
Are you just jealous that he's good with his money and you're not?
You know, I wish I was the person that could listen to some of the stuff he says and is like, oh, I'm intrigued because I follow those things and I know markets and blah, blah, blah. But I don't. And I hear this stuff and it just sounds like I'm an asshole doing asshole things. Asshole.
And then it can get even worse if he starts relating like a financial thing to something in poker. And then you're like, oh, boy, this is two worlds.
I don't know. All I know is this is more focused on match kind of stuff and the negotiating of the terms of a match and things. And I don't know. I just liked it better as a promo, but Dante's sad, and that makes me sad. I still gave it a thumbs up, though.
Oh yeah, I think Leo is starting something that could potentially be really cool if he gets the miles per hour up.
I middled it just because this felt sort of like the last week, and didn't necessarily forward the story. Like, also, I'm not clear of. Rampage is going to be just Dante and Matt Sydal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of the tag match, which was still being advertised in the Rampage commercials.
Right.
Did something happen?
I think something happened to the other Sydal.
Could be. Because wasn't he already like coming off of something?
Yeah, they were doing Jericho's, so maybe he got sick.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I think we know, like, without even having to guess, what is the problem, and it's that he ate too much Spanish rice from the buffet. He's got a hurt tummy, and that takes time.
I mean, the norovirus, not COVID, but the norovirus is strong on these ships.
You have so experience with this kind of thing. Like,
if you went into the hot tub, absolutely. Gross. actually, I saw Jericho take some pictures at the front of the ship, and I don't know exactly where he was, and it was a crew area. They had to have let him out there because he was on the front deck that's for crew only, and there's like a hot tub out there that's just a crew hot tub, which is very clean because, you know, what's directly above it is the observation deck with all the navigators and stuff. So no funny business is happening, at least unless they're fully prepared and understand that everyone's
watching. And the funny business would be like if bringing a chili dog out there.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
So we thumbed all this. Okay, so then we have the next eliminator match.
Oh, boy.
Which is 10 versus Jon Moxley.
Oh, boy. And this match is like, Chan, am I wrong? Or is this like, it's almost in a cool down spot.
Yeah. And it's, like, I like that we're building Mox, kind of in the same way as MJF, like, half his matches are squash matches,
right?
Which is a much higher percentage than most wrestlers, just because, like, that's his thing, is like, you want people to get mad at him. And you just want Mox to just like obliterate people. Yeah. And then every once in a while have like a huge murderous long drawn out thing. So like, when I saw 10 in there, I was like, well, that's an odd slot for 10 to go up against Mox.
But it's because he won his bracket.
Yeah. It's just the nature of a tournament. It's neat to have that kind of a match. And they were very honest about the reality of that kind of a matchup, which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
It was, basically, it was great.
Jon went nuts right away, and he tore Ten's mask and bit him, and Ten was bleeding like a motherfucker. And then it was over.
Oh my God.
And Moxley just storms back out.
Gone.
God,
probably to call
fun.
His daughter. and that was, I forget how much we got into that just a few short days ago, but that's a really neat worldview and motivation for what he's doing. That it's it's about like, you know, like I'm in a dangerous business. It's important to me to get home in one piece to my little daughter. So I'm going to fuck your ass up really bad.
I'm going to chainsaw your ass and then go do a tea party with my little baby.
It's what was getting over Kevin. I want to say Steen. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Yeah.
In WWE is like his thing was like, I'm a prize fighter. That's my job. And I'm going to, you know, like, I'm not doing this for love or whatever. I'm just doing it to feed my family. Like it's a great thing. And it's, obviously everybody can't have that gimmick, but you know, like you just give one person that and it's another great, face gimmick that really works, really connects.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. And it can take certain kinds of matches and still give them something where it's like, who could get mad at 10? But 10 is a threat. Yeah. He could hurt you.
He's definitely getting in the way as far as the bracket is concerned.
True enough. You know? He got hurt. Did he blade himself inside the mask or what was that?
He had to have. That was insane. No.
Yeah, he was down on the floor, so he had time.
So did we all thumb this? I thumbed it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Shivani is interviewing FDR, and FDR cuts a promo. They had the nerve to say that Lucha Brothers have never fought hard, and they will fight hard when they finally fight FTR again. And I was like, are they fucking kidding me? Did they even see that pay-per-view match? Lucha Brothers work their fucking ass off. They work their ass off all the time. So I was pissed about what they were saying, but I thumbs it up because they did it well.
Oh yeah, and I'm it feels like it's the most elemental kind of heel work of denying exactly what we know to be a fact from our own eyes and playing on like the level of infuriation that comes from somebody who does that. But I could also see how their attitude would be about how much of a match like that that big cage match. Or whichever, like there's so much ornamentation that is sort of letting you off the hook of like, it's me and you in the ring and that's the work. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like gravity does quite a bit of work maybe in their perception with certain kinds of matches. But it was I thought it was a good promo.
Yeah.
I middled it. And this was the thing that I was talking about earlier is like, it's a good promo, but I felt like they cut the exact same promo last week. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, just give me something else.
Chan, what do you need each of the six bananas and a bunch of bananas to achieve?
Every single one of them has to be the best banana I have ever had in my entire life. Or it's a middle. I go around thumbing banana bunches and telling them, mid.
Oh, you're really... MJF. Hey, here's something that's interesting. You know, if you're ever curious if somebody you know is maybe a narcissist, even if it's a mild narcissism, if every time they eat or do something, if they say, this is the best I've ever had in my life, that's a clue.
Really? Why is that?
Because narcissists, everything must be. Well, okay, not all, right? But some, the way they, like, operate in the world, like, everything they have is the best. Otherwise, it's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they will often say things like this, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just an aside. I mean, obviously, there's a million other things to look for, and that is probably not an indication that you should look for. But
no, I mean, it's a very interesting observation, and I would dare say it makes you the best friend I've ever had, and the most interesting.
Anyways, so the next thing we have is another thing that I was like, okay, this is it. This is the thing of the night. But it's not, but it's one of the things, right? So the lights go out and Cody's music comes on. The crowd boos so loud. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And there was a commercial that came on. In fact, the commercial went on so long, it was P&P, and then there's three more commercials after the P&P cut out. I was so pissed because he grabbed a mic and I was like, if I miss any of what he's fucking saying, I'm going to kill somebody. But there was insane booing when we came back from commercial, and Cody was talking and he was like, you know, I get it. You know, basically he was talking about what if he went heel? Like, what if? And he was saying that's the easy road and he's not going to do it. He's like, as a fan, you can cheer, you can boo. He's like, but don't forget the man who built this bank or whatever. He threw his sneakers into the crowd. I mean, this was the promo of a lifetime. This man was literally pleading for his right to exist in this company. I mean, holy fuck. Right,
it was
pleading with the fans.
It was. It's a very interesting and very delicate effort to make in my mind because it's in the nature of all performers and all people in a lot of other kind of endeavors, athletes perhaps, to feel a defensiveness that makes you want to lash out and demand something from people or to unproductively seek in some other fashion, I guess. And so I was watching this kind of knowing what this was about, what this was going to be, and to see, like, is he going to do this in the way that is going to be the most you know, the strongest kind of promo, the most helpful kind of way of trying to get what you want for yourself. Is it going to be whiny and defensive, or is it going to be,
no,
you know,
I thought,
like,
it was great. Like, he was like, look, it's the easy way out. That's not the way for me. He's like, I will not turn. Reason being, I love you guys. He apologized to the fans for, you know, stepping away or whatever. The crowd is being so weird. And he was talking about, you know, his brother and his dad, and just like, you know, I, you know, really propping those guys up, not really. He wasn't self-aggrandizing, you know, I didn't think. And he was really kind of being like, I get it. I understand where you're coming from, and you can feel that way. He's like, but, you know, I'm going to do it my way, and this is the hard way, and this is going to be really hard, you know, meaning like, you guys might not like me, and I just have to deal with that. God, I thought it was really great, but the crowd was being so weird. But then, and this is where it got even better, and it just continued to get better, and I'm so excited. Andrade comes out. And he's like, Cody, people don't like you. And then he's like, people don't like me, but I don't care about the people. Oh, I laughed so hard. He's called Cody's tattoo stupid. He's like, you know what? They don't like that stupid tattoo. Then Andrade gets in the ring and he's like, you know, I can make you my little bitch. Then the lights go out. And Malachi Black is in there, and he mists at Cody, and then Malachi Black and Arn, Malachi Black and Andrade, they beat up Arn and Cody, and then Pac shows up, and he drop kicks Malachi Black out of the fucking ring. Pac is awesome. Andrade runs away. Pac crisscross applesauces in the middle of the ring, and two finger salutes Malachi. It drove Malachi insane. And they had to, all these people were trying to keep them out of the ring. Ugh. I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing I've ever fucking witnessed in my life. If Andrade and Malachi Black tag against Pac and Cody, are you kidding me?
I mean, that's
fucking,
it's
special.
A combustible quartet, no doubt.
Honestly, I don't want that tag match, but I do want any combination of those four wrestlers in singles competition.
Yeah, I agree with that. I assume
Pac and
it's
Black.
Be a tag.
Oh my god!
Or you know, like, what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, it'll be that tag first off, and then they'll split off and, you know, wrestle. So that's fine.
Malachi Black and Pac will be one of the best things we've ever seen, for sure. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say this. Cody is taking a very dangerous route by basically speaking directly to the marks, speaking directly to, you know, people who use wrestler terminology and whatnot like that. And he's saying that I will not turn, you know, basically, you know, I'm not going to turn heel now, like you would expect me to, because, you know, you're all booing me. So, you know, like, oh, your fans turned against me, so now I will be a bad guy. And it's, oh boy, it's so hard because those people like us expect to be catered to, because we're smart, air quotes, and we know, you know, this is all fake. But when you speak directly to them in, you know, in kayfabe, but kind of not, it's such a hard balance to strike.
Yeah.
And for me, it didn't quite click. I don't generally care for that kind of thing, especially when they're being, you know, very sincere and whatnot like that. So like when all the rest of the stuff happened, I was like, okay, cool. This is a future feud that I would like to see. And of course, Pac, sitting down cross-legged with his tongue out, just flipping them off, was just wonderful. But I middled it because all of the Cody stuff just like didn't sit right with me. That's so
interesting.
I liked what Cody had to say. I liked what he did. And because he has to acknowledge it, because it's fucking bananas that someone who's a face and who also has been so popular for so long is getting booed out of a building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has I still don't understand it. Okay. Well, I think that's big up.
I think that there are, I think that there is a legitimate dislike from with some, even many. I also think that there are a lot of people that when there becomes momentum behind it, feel like I come to the arena and I pay for my ticket because I get to be part of this narrative.
I'm going to
feed into this thing that is happening. And I don't know on what level they feel that, but I do think that is a motivation behind why they would go out and boo sometimes. You do what you do when you buy your ticket, you know, like it's better than chucking like hard objects and food out there, I guess. I don't love it, but I think it's part of the why.
What did you think, man?
It's an up for me. I agree that there is a careful balance that has to be struck when you start to be more honest, more candid about the kayfabe stuff. Personally, I don't care to be presented material as a smart mark. I want to see the story. And I don't want a story that has a lot of things exposed because I happen to know about them any more than I would want that from a film. So that's kind of what I think about that. I mean, whatever, wherever he was on it in this one, I did like it. And I thought that to the extent that there is a bravery in how you expose yourself emotionally or whatever, like I was very excited at him being willing to do that. So that was really neat to me.
Okay, so now we have the match of the night, and again, it's another thing that's like, this is it. This is the best thing I've ever seen tonight. There's so many of these, but anyways.
And then the parking guy in the parking lot that was getting cars. That was the event of the night. Yeah.
Okay, what were you saying about being a narcissist now? Like, everything is the best is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's me, guys. I was outing myself.
Oh, wow.
Beware. Yeah. Buyer beware.
Teresa, set the stage for this match.
All right, so Dark Order, they had these awesome costumes. Colt Cabana dressed up as Cutler, which was great. They all had, like, different costumes, but the Super Elite come out as the Ghostbusters, and they have a Ghostbusters rip-off song that's like, who are you going to call? The Elite. Now they come out, and Cutler and Nakazawa, Cutler is in the Stay Puffed costume. Nakazawa is in this big baby puffed out costume.
Also, real quick, I do have to call out how weird it was. I think it was J.R. Shivani said, which one's Egon? When they're talking about the Ghostbusters, I was like, okay, A, why? B, that's my kid's name, so it's sort
he's
of weird.
He's going to wake up.
Oh. It's going to be hard for up. You, Shush. And that's going to be hard for Egon.
Okay, so this was an incredibly fun match. At one point, Johnny Hungy does the boom, the Adam Cole boom, but he says boss instead. I thought that was funny. Kenny has a proton pack on. They all had proton packs.
They all had proton packs. Took them, living the dream.
They all took them off except for Kenny. When Kenny got in the ring, he still had it on. And he hits the corner with the pack on. But then somebody does a splash onto the pack, which was funny. And JR was like, not the proton pack.
No, I was glad that they sort of like began to call out, like, because like the whole
silliness.
Elite was starting to like prepare their proton packs as though they were going to do something with them. And I was like,
yeah, what are you gonna do? And you're not activating them. What's gonna happen? And they ended up doing nothing with them. Whatever.
They do something. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. They did a bunch of stuff with it.
But, well, no, okay, I mean, like so in a particular moment, they ended up doing like a hip attack or something, right?
I you know what? I can't. I don't know what moment you're thinking of. If you could screen grab it and send it to me real quick,
I'm going to pass that on to the listeners.
Okay. So Evil Uno, who's dressed as a cowboy, at one point Matt Jackson was on all fours. They were like wrestling and everything. And at one point Matt got knocked down and he was on all fours. And then Uno sat on him and rode him like a cowboy. it was so funny. And Matt just selling it and still kind of like walking around on his all fours. Then Cole Cabana got to do like the cold spray on the eyes like Cutler does. Love it. I have to keep going on because there's so many fun things. Dark Order kept doing these awesome like photo poses. Grayson, unfucking real. He does so many cool ass moves. I can't fucking stand it. And at this point I wrote, God, these groups are so good. Mm-hmm. Because both the Dark Order and the Super Elite are so perfect at everything they do. It's mind boggling. Silver runs around the ring at one point and he's knocking everyone down as he goes. It started getting really fast and furious towards the end, you know, lots of moves happening. And so with that, it was happening. Everyone was in the ring and everyone was taking a turn and it was happening so fast that at one point, Matt Jackson knocked out the ref on accident.
Mm-hmm.
So then
the elite
took that opportunity to hit all the Dark Order in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all sorry, I just hit my thing. So they
you hit
were
your balls?
All, no, I hit the heat register and it made a twang sound. So maybe that was hitting someone's balls. Iron balls.
And angel's balls got hit in heaven.
So, anyways, okay, so Dark Order is in the center. They all are kind of weakened because they're grabbing their crotches. That's when the elite put on their proton packs. They like all turn around and kind of back jump into the Dark Order, who's all kind of in the center of the circle with their proton packs. So they get hit with their proton packs. But then they take their proton packs off, put them in the center of the ring, and powerbomb Colt Cabana onto this pile of proton packs, which has got to hurt one way or the other,
right? Would think so. You're definitely crossing the streams in there.
Then we have a horse running out. Now, the horse, there was a horse costume, right? A guy in a horse costume. He came out when the Dark Order first came out, but then he went backstage. So
there were two cowboys with him. One of them was, Alex Reynolds. And I forget who the other person was, but
Uno?
Yeah.
And then Alex Reynolds went backstage with the horse because he wasn't in the match. Uno was though. Anyway, so then the horse runs out and the rest of the Dark Order kicked the horse in the balls because they're like assuming who it is. And we all assumed that it was Hangman Adam Page, and they do a BTE trigger. Then they take off the horse's head and it's Brandon Cutler. Dun, dun, dun. So now everyone's like, well, where the fuck is Hangman Adam Page? And someone said something about Brandon Cutler was whimpering, and I think it was JR, maybe it was Shivani, but someone says there's no whimpering in wrestling. Anyway. So we see the Stay Puffed guy coming into the ring and then take off the mask, and it was Hangman, and he comes up behind, and boy, he really, you know, packs a punch. Stu takes out the other guys. Hangman takes out Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega. Then the ref wakes up just in time to see Johnny Hungy pin Kenny Omega. This was the greatest ever. It was the greatest ever.
It was the happy ending you expect to come from a Halloween show, for sure.
Yeah. it was delightful comedy and also a lot of really great, cool spots and high paced. And yeah, in my notes, there is a point because the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes into the ring before the horse comes out. And at that point, I'd still in my notes earlier, I'd put Cutler Stay Puft ? Because I was just trying to like tick off the people who were, you know, supposed to be in there. And it didn't even occur to me that we hadn't seen who was actually in the horse costume.
Yeah.
So like I got completely I bought completely into this. Yeah. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Me too.
Until Stay Puft comes up on in the ring, and then he was standing in a weird way, and I was like, "Oh, that's it. Oh no!" And my notes say, "Damn it, Stay Puft is Paige." And then, so when the whole thing started playing out, I was like, "It took me this long, and they did such a good job with this. It is absolutely not, you know, Mid-South, you know, Atlantic wrestling from, you know, 1982. But it's just so goddamn entertaining.
I don't know what like, that means.
Well, no question.
It's not the Jim Cornette FTR endorsed brand of wrestling for sure. It was a delightful like balance of like the legit and the goofy silly, and they had exactly the right like units in there to do that.
They're playing their storyline perfectly as far as like now we're moving forward, you know, as we have been, but this is just a fun way to do it. And then to see some of the best wrestlers ever, and they're all in costume and having a good time, like doing these amazing moves, doing all this fun, weird shit. I mean, are they not having the greatest time of their lives?
I would have to think so.
And just think, man, they are loving life. Like, this is their life. They get to do this and they fucking are amazing at it and are just loving it. I was seeing
some people who were talking about watching Dark, and like, there's like, oh my God, look at Daniel Bryan. He is so happy.
Oh yeah. And number of times that I've said the exact same thing about Ruby Soho, and we've all noticed that in others.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. It's truly, it's bliss to see other people in their bliss.
Yeah. And I would wish that, you know, with all of the tribalism and people of just very strongly held opinions about style, like that, if you think like, oh, if only this could be seen by the right people, surely they would be softened by it. Maybe they would just be a little tiny bit more open, because who could be against the joy and the skill level that we got to witness in this match and in this show generally? But you know, that's how wrestling is, and it doesn't have to lessen my enjoyment of it that they're not digging it. But you know, hope springs eternal.
Yeah.
This is a 95% show.
Goodness gracious.
I figured.
Where's our
and
record?
Here's the thing. I don't feel bad that I am almost entirely the reason why it's not 100% show, because the other middle thumb was Teresa.
Wow.
So you didn't think it was perfect either.
I guess I did, though.
There was one thing that was a middle. It was towards the beginning, right?
Yeah. No.
Where was it?
I mean, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it was the Malachi Black promo.
The cards don't lie either.
There it is.
Isn't that something?
I didn't realize that about myself.
it was indeed a fine show, and there's
just
so much great wrestling in here. That
so many different things too. It was so everything was so different. Great flow to the show tonight. God, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Can't wait for Friday, and I can't wait for that pay-per-view whenever it comes up.
Mm-hmm. November 7th?
Soon.
It's
yeah.
real soon.
Early, or yeah. couple weeks. It's like in the, yeah, the, yeah, week or two, yeah.
Okay. AE double back on Twitter, AE underscore double back on Instagram. Thanks for listening, and hope you have a good 2 days and then more wrestling.
Yeah.
I thought you were doubting whether you wanted them to have a good day.
Good 2 days, watch some wrestling, and have some better days after that as well.
Yeah, and eat something tasty like a burger or whatever. Bye.
Yeah. And a donut.
A donut. Yeah, get a donut burger. Great.